morning. It's good to be with you in this summertime transition. I think we're moving back towards summertime heat from a strange cold front that we've experienced in July that gave us a little bit of relief, showed us what the world can really be like when it's not summertime in Texas. Good to be with you here. Blessings to you all in this season of Pentecost. We are making our way through the language of belief. And today we're talking about faith, one of the most powerful words in our tradition and in our belief system, and seeking ways in which we can communicate to the wider world the blessing that we experience, and in language, in the Pentecost tradition, in language that the world can understand. So all of this today, we get to praise and pray and sing and hear God's word and reflect on its meaning for our lives, share the sacrament of God's table, and share the sacrament of baptism today as Callie Ray Houchins joins the family of faith as well. So all of this in this time. If you're visiting with us today, there are some little books that'll make their way up and down our rows. Please give us a little contact information on you so we can continue to greet you in the time to come. And as we begin our time together, let's stand and pray in a litany of faith. Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Your word for us is spirit and truth. Teach us a language of faith, that we may encourage trust in you in a skeptical world. Teach us a language of hope, that we might shine your light in shadow and darkness. Teach us a language of love, that the world may know your goodness and grace. Speak to us in spirit and truth. Your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. Amen. Grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of life, teach us the deeper meanings of faith. Guide us as we seek to grow in a faith that works in the shifting currents and fortunes of life. Help us to rely on your goodness and wisdom, to have faith in you beyond our own understandings. Amen. I invite you to be seated, and I invite our baptismal family forward. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. Do you wish to have Callie Ray baptized this day? Called by the Holy Spirit and trusting in the grace and love of God, we take certain responsibilities as the family of faith as we welcome her into our midst. To live with her among God's faithful people, to bring her to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in her hands the Holy Scriptures, and nurture her in faith and prayer, so that she may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, care for others and the world God has made, and work for justice and peace. Do you promise to help Callie grow in the Christian faith and life? If so, say, we do. And she is making a joyful noise this day. The only thing that we don't like to hear is a church with no sounds of children in it. So she is most welcome to express her full feelings this day. Sponsors, do you promise to help Callie grow in Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit, and to help her live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the church? If so, say, we do. And people of God, do you promise to help support Callie and pray for her in her new life in Christ? If so, say, we do. I ask you now to profess your faith in Jesus Christ, to reject sin, and to confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce evil and all the forces that defy God? If so, say, I renounce them. Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God? Do you renounce the ways that sin draws us from God? I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He descended into hell. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your Son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus' death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us up to live in you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in the waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It takes a long time after baptism for children to get comfortable with pastors once again. This is for you. Blessed be God, the source of all life, the word of salvation, the spirit of mercy. Callie Ray Houchins, you belong to Christ, in whom you have been baptized. Alleluia. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give your daughters and sons new birth. Cleanse us from sin and raise us to eternal life. Sustain Callie with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forevermore. With the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. If you light her candle, one.
Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Let us welcome the newly baptized. We welcome you into the body of Christ, into the mission we share. Join us in giving thanks and praise to God and bearing God's creative and redeeming word to all the world. Amen. If you would like to be seated, and let's step forward to the front. We blow out that baptismal candle so that it remains throughout her life, and on her baptismal birthday now, she'll be able to celebrate this day on which the world was made new once again. Because a new person has joined the family of faith, a new person has joined the body of Christ with us. And from now on, it is a different world. We will watch in wonder as she grows in grace and as her gifts and spirit begin to reach out to the world in God's name. Let's sing together. Thank you.
Old Testament reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, beginning with the 48th verse. On that very day, the Lord addressed Moses as follows: Ascend this mountain of Abram, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites for a possession. You shall die there on the mountain that you ascend, and shall be gathered to your kin, as your brother Aaron died on the Mount Hor and was gathered to his kin. Because both of you broke faith with me among the Israelites at the waters of Meribath Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, by failing to maintain my holiness among the Israelites. Although you may view the land from a distance, you shall not enter it, the land that I am giving to the Israelites. And the word was with God. Psalm 78 will be read responsively. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children. So that they should set their faith in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. The New Testament reading is from the book of James, chapter 2, beginning with the 14th verse. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, keep warm, eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab, the prostitute, also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. And the word was with God. Please stand as you're able for the reading of the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress. And Jesus said to him, I will come and cure him. And the centurion answered, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my slave, do this, and the slave does it. When Jesus heard him, he was amazed, and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west, and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you according to your faith. And the servant was healed in that hour. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. I invite our young'uns to come forward. Do we have some little ones in the... And Callie, this will be your regular time in worship as well. How do you spell Jesus?
How do you spell Jesus? L-O-V-E.
Come on up.
How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? How do you say Jesus? Love, love, love.
Awesome. It's good to be with you all today. And we're talking about a really important word, a word that you hear around here a lot. And the word is faith. And it's something that we seek to understand, and it's something that we seek to live, but it's something that seems to take a lifetime to learn. So if you don't really understand it yet, it's okay. None of us really do, if the truth were out. But we all are seeking to understand it. We're all trying to learn what it means to be faithful and to live faithfully. So in this time when we're understanding words, hi, Miss Edlin, come right on up. And when we're understanding the words that we use in here, we want to make sure that we take time to understand as deeply as we can what those are. But one thing I want you to understand, especially about faith, it is a gift from God. Faith is a gift. It's like a seed that God plants in us. It's like a seed that God plants in Callie Ray today that's going to grow and blossom in her life. And we will see her faith as it's lived out. And the other thing is, when God gives us a gift, God also teaches us how to use it and how to live in it. So I got a little song that I think might help us. This might be good for all of us. We could all sing this together. And it goes like this. It's one of those songs where I sing some words and then you sing them after, so it's real easy to learn. Lord, teach me to trust. Lord, teach me to believe. Lord, teach me to have faith in you. Should we try that together? Lord, teach me to trust. Lord, teach me to believe. Lord, teach me to have faith in you, Awesome, what a great job you did. And that's like a little song that we can sing as we go. It's a little prayer that we can pray anywhere, anytime. Lord, teach me what faith means and what it is to be faithful. And you know what? God will. That's God's promise. Amen? Thank you so much for being a part of worship today. Teach others that song. That's a good one to teach as we go. And you go back and sit with your folks now. But stay tuned, because we're going to talk a little bit more about this faith stuff. It's a pretty big topic. We're going to actually talk a little bit about it this Sunday, and we're going to talk a little bit about it next Sunday, too. You know, the Gospels are filled with the most scandalous stories. Full of them. Jesus is involved in these experiences with people, and Jesus tells parables, like it says in our psalm today, speak to me in mashal, speak to me in dark sayings. We've talked about the parabolic teaching that Jesus uses, metaphor and symbol, to convey these deep truths that are best told in those ways. And today he engages a Roman centurion, which is, if there is an arch enemy of the people of his world and his time, it is the Roman Empire. They are subject to the Roman Empire. They are a subjugated people. They are essentially enslaved to Rome and its imperial ambitions. And so it's deeply scandalous today that the protagonist, if you will, in this story is a Roman centurion that comes to Jesus and says, what? I have a servant at home who is paralyzed and in great distress, and I need you to heal him. And Jesus' response? No, you're a part of the enemy regime. You stand for everything that stands against the word of God and the freedom and peace that it seeks to bring in the world. Of course not. Of course not. Someone is in distress. What is Jesus going to do? He's going to minister to him. And he says, let's go. Let's go to your house and we'll minister to him right now. And this centurion has a moment of really profound candor and says, I'm not fit for that. Whether he's addressing the social dislocation between the two of them or whatever it is, he says, it's not right for you to come under my roof. But, like you, I am a commander. I give orders. I say, and it is so. I tell people to come, and they come. I tell people to go, and they go. I say to my slave, do this, and my slave does that. So he says, Lord, in your authority, only speak the word, and this one will be healed. And Jesus is flabbergasted. He's amazed. He turns to his followers and says, I have rarely found faith like this among the people of Israel. And there are many who will come and claim their patronage from the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and say that they are a part of the people of God, and yet come nowhere close to exhibiting the faith that this Roman commander has exhibited in the power and grace of God. And he says, let it be so. According to your faith, he says, to a Roman military commander. And so it is. And the commander's servant is delivered in that time. We have a lot of other stories, far less scandalous. We have a marvelous story in Mark's gospel about a father who is in deep, agonized distress for his son, who is dying, and comes to Jesus and says, I need you to heal him. I need him to be healed. If you can, he says, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help him. And Jesus is frustrated again. He says, if I can. Everything is possible for him who believes. And here we confront again the extraordinary power of faith. Everything that is represented by that word. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Amazing. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help my unbelief. This marvelously human moment that he has. When he recognizes that, yes, I believe and I want this and I'm pouring heart and soul into this request of you. But he's still filled with doubts, disbeliefs, unbeliefs. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What an amazingly human and common thing for one to say about faith. The cry of the heart that seeks to be faithful in a world too often faithless. We seek a faith that's genuine, that honors God in whom we have our being, that goes with us and sustains us through the joys and the vicissitudes of life alike. We seek a living, breathing faith that accompanies us through our life. And the one that God sends is the example of that faith. We're modern people. We live in a modern world. We are inheritors of the Enlightenment. We have the pride, some might say the audacity, to believe that we can understand everything. And I'm not the only one saying this. This is a big part of what modernism is about. That reality may be known and fully understood by us completely through the power of our senses. That if we can't see or touch or taste or feel or hear, it isn't real. What was it Thomas said? Thomas the doubter? Unless I see with my own eyes, I will not believe. Risen Christ invites us deeper, calls us beyond our sensory consciousness, lifts us above, transcends this physical world that in some ways holds us captive. He says to his disciples, "You believe because you see. Blessed are the ones who haven't seen and yet believe." So this idea of faith is not rooted in our sensory appreciation or assessment or captivity. It's rooted in something far deeper. It's rooted in a promise from God. Thomas isn't seeking faith. He's after certainty. We should call him Certain Thomas as opposed to the doubter. "Prove it to me," he says, "and I will believe." That's not faith. It's not wrong, but it's not faith. Faith, as we have this wonderful testament in Hebrews, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, this conviction of things not seen. It's a profound definition, but it is just that. Again, we're in the midst of language about something that's living and breathing, and how far can language go with that? I hear more faith in the words of the psalmist, who in the midst of this world in which the psalmist lives, of oppression and enslavement and violence, says, "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Who stands in the face of all of that and says, "I believe that God is good and that I will see the goodness of God enacted, lived out in the midst of all of this that seems so antithetical." It's the opposite of despair in many ways. It does not accept the reality it is, but believes, holds trust that there is a different reality that is possible, that reality that God wills and is calling forth among the people of God in the world today. "I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Faith is the agonized cry of a father who says, "Lord, I believe, it's my doubt that's the problem." And these things seem to go hand in hand. Doubt seems to be the traveling companion of faith. And yet in reality, it is not faith's opposite, as we've said. The opposite of faith is certainty. In the face of certainty, faith is not required. Doubt is what makes faith, faith. When we believe in spite of, when we reach beyond our fears and our misgivings and we step forward, that is faith. This anxious father that cries, "Jesus, I want to believe completely. Help my faith to power beyond my doubts and my fears and my misgivings." And Jesus does. Jesus is faithful to respond to that every single time. Faith itself is a gift from God. And faith lives and breathes and is strengthened as it is challenged in the crucible of life. We are created to be inquisitive, thinking, imagining, discerning, curious people. This is the way God has made us. We are wired for this. I believe for the purpose of exploring the world in which God has called us into being and living God's way there for the betterment of all and for creation itself. I think that's why we are, for this relational companionship that God longs, this unity that God longs for among all people and among people in creation. Questioning is a realistic and rational part of being a believer. Questioning has to have its space. Thank God that God has more tolerance for questioning than a lot of churches do these days. We are in a tradition in the Lutheran experience that is interpretive in its engagement with Scripture because of the very way God made us. We dig and plumb and work through the things that are revealed in Scripture. We challenge them, we question them, and that is okay. God has great tolerance for our questioning and our imaginings. We're welcome to bring the fullness of our experience to our experience of faith and spirituality. It is not an either or. Faith is not called forth in a way that does not make sense in the world. Faith is called forth in the midst of everything that's happening in the world. I wrote this in my journal as I was thinking about this today. Scripture is filled with doubt and doubters. Most of the minor and major characters, many Psalms, Job, Lamentations, Paul, the Gospels, Jesus himself, intolerance of doubt, questioning, questing in faith, has pushed a lot of people to the borderlands of spirituality. Genuinely interested and compelled by something greater than themselves, they find religious institutions too rigid or judgmental to afford safe space to explore what it is they believe. I think we are called to be a place where doubts and deep faith are welcome in one mix, and that our conversations with one another and our shared experiences with one another teach us what it is to be faithful in the midst of so much that is faithless. You know, people come up to Jesus in the Gospels and ask him questions 153 times. And 147 of those times, he answers with a question. What kind of tolerance does Jesus have for questioning and questioning in faith? Our own Lutheran theologian, the eminent Paul Tillich, says, doubt is not the opposite of faith, it is an element of faith. And far more damage has been done by certainty than has ever been done by doubt. So if you have doubts, if your cry to God is like this anxious father's, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, then you are in a very common and human place in relationship to the magnitude and the mystery of the divine. And you're in good company right here at Abiding Love. We're after a faith that Jesus' brother James is talking about. We're after a faith that works. We're after a faith that draws us on and flows out of us in expression. We're after a faith that has the power to transform us and the world as Jesus describes it. Luther writes in his preface to Romans, he writes this beautiful preface to Romans, which he says is the most important book in the Bible. Hear that. Martin Luther says that Romans, Paul's letter to Rome, is the most important book in the Bible, and they're all in there. This includes the Gospels, Genesis, Revelation, and everything in between. And Paul identifies Romans as the most important book in there because it teaches him what it is to be faithful and how that faith is to be lived out in gratitude. He says, faith is a divine work in us. Trust that God is at work in you, teaching us, you and I, about what it means to be faithful. The same one who plants the seed of faith in us blows on it like a little coal, burning as an ember inside of us, teaches us, goes with us in the experience of what it means to be faithful. He says, faith is a divine work in us. It changes us and births us anew in God, in heart and spirit, in mind and powers. powers exercised in the midst of the world. Oh, it is a living, busy, mighty thing, this faith. And so it is impossible for it not to do good works incessantly. This is Luther about James. And we hear so much about Luther and James. Oh, it's an epistle of straw, he's quoted as saying. If it's in the Bible at all, it should be at the very end. So hopefully no one will read it. He wrote this. Luther can be pretty extreme. But the reality is he was concerned about its confusion with works. That works somehow might earn us God's favor, that the things that we do might save us from ourselves or what might separate us from God. And clearly Luther disagreed with that proposition because he read in Romans that we're saved by grace through faith, not by works. But he was equally in the next breath committed to that faith being expressed and lived out. So faith is a proposition. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. But it's far more than that. It is a living, breathing thing that God is seeking to cultivate in us daily. It's a journey of discovery and experience that begins in Callie Ray, this day, and will continue on in her life and in our lives for all time to come. Faith is an action verb. Faith that is expressed is real. Luther closes with this: the one who does not do these works of faith is indeed a faithless person. Amen?
Today,
Gathered together as the people of faith, we are bold to claim the gift of prayer, to open our hearts and minds to the one who hears and answers when we call. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of faith, for that little seed of you that you plant at the center of our being. Grow it, nurture it, fan it into a flame for your sake and for the sake of the world that you love. Hear us, O God. Take us deeper into the meanings of faith. Help us to find our strength and our courage, our imagination and our creativity there. Help us to respond to the needs that we are surrounded by, with the blessing of the faith that flows from us. Hear us, O God. Strengthen our faith. In the times of challenge, in times of doubt and struggle and questioning, help it to grow stronger, more defined and refined. And help us to share it. Help us to share it as a beacon of hope for a world that is looking for light. Hear us, O God. There are so many among us that are in need of care. We pray this day for Morris Thompson and Laura Blaschke, for Gloria Hayden, Tony Hippie, Danny Santos, for Brian Land, and for Keith Reach, and for so many, many more who are on our hearts. We name them now aloud or in silence in this gathering of faith. Hear us, O God. We pray for Cassie Ray Houchins and her family as we welcome Cassie into the family of faith in her baptism. We pray for all who suffer as a result of violence and oppression, for all victims of disasters and human failings. Hear us, O God. Inspire faith among all of our Austin City Lutheran and other partner communities in Austin and around this country, around the world. Today we remember the people and mission of New Life Lutheran Church in Dripping Springs. Bless the ministry of David and Alicia Brandas in Mexico City and all who serve in ELCA global missions and causes the world over. For Tim Sump and the work of the Peace Corps, for all who are serving in your name in places of danger and violence, hear us, O God. We pray that you empower the people of this community, Abiding Love, Lord. Today we lift up Angela and Jason and Cora and Carson and Cole Renfro and Kurt and Gloria Reach, Ben and Kim Ralph, Sharon and JP and Lauren and Matthew Perry, Angela and Jose Pelez. Hear us, O God. Gather us, Lord. All for whom we pray, all for whom no one is praying, we entrust ourselves in faith to you. Lead us on in Jesus' name. Amen. Our service continues with the harvest of our offering. Let's stand and sing together. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, who after his resurrection sent forth the apostles to preach the gospel and teach all nations, and promised to be with them even to the end of the age. And so, with the glorious company of the apostles, with the choirs of angels and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Who will gather, our Lord takes bread. He blesses it and gives thanks. He breaks it and he shares it out with us, saying, "Take and eat. This bread is my body broken and given for you. As often as you eat of it, do so, remembering me." In the same way, he takes a cup, blessing it and giving thanks. He shares it out with us, saying, "Take and drink. This cup is a new covenant in my blood shed for you, for all people, for all creation, for the forgiveness of sin. Drink of it often, remembering me." And so we remember, and we pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us in the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. All who wish to meet Christ in this meal, all are welcome at this table. And those who wish to come forward for blessing as well, welcome. God's gifts are free and for everyone. I invite you to be seated. I invite our musicians and communion servers forward. The ushers will guide you.
take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us, Lamb of God. You take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us, Lamb of God. You take away the sin of the world.
As you are able. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in his grace. Amen. Let's sing together.
Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord and sing his praise. Thank you.
Just a few announcements today. Know that Summer Soundwave is taking place in the Activity Center between the worship services. Kids of all ages, parents, if you'd like to accompany them. Song and a message, crafts and refreshment, our summer offering for kids. And Bible Boosters will be meeting, and we'll be having a conversation in here on the subject of forgiveness in the pastor's forum. Confirmation group and sponsors are home safe and sound from a beach camp experience in Corpus Christi, which I understand has been powerful. And we'll be hearing from them a little bit about some things that they've learned and accomplished on that trip next week. We had a great gathering of the Evangelical Lutheran Educators Association here yesterday, and this is a great expression of one of those goals that the Congregation Council has come forward with, of establishing Abiding Love as a center for learning and information, and a wonderful program that Debbie Tony and Terry Carmine and others put on there yesterday. And know this, that a group has begun the refurbishment work for the Mariposa Family Learning Center, which is the name for our newest preschool education center in East Austin. And thanks to you and the support of this congregation and others in Austin City Lutherans, that program is moving forward, and we're looking forward to the wonderful developments in education that can happen for children and families in one of the most troubled parts of our cities. There are t-shirts available. I should say ordering of t-shirts is taking place in the narthex for the service Sunday that's coming up on September the 8th. Please get your t-shirt ordered so that you can boldly wear the mustard yellow and black on service Sunday. God's work, our hands. You are people of faith. You are people of faith expressed by your presence here, gathered in the body of Christ, and seeking to grow in that faith and to express that faith in life. And God promises to meet you where you are. May God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May God look on you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We go forth together, sharing God's love. The peace of the Lord be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's share God's peace as we go. God's peace, my friend. Thank you so much. Blessings.
I'm going to run over next door.